Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. Marshall Fant, welcome back to GFA Podcast ReChurch. So glad to have you with us. If you're either watching on YouTube or just listening on your favorite podcast, we do thank you for that. We do ask you to go ahead and hit the subscribe button and just to be a part of it. So again, ReChurch, everything about the church, and today is a topic that we often discuss internally. We don't discuss it so much on the podcast until today, but really life after the pastorate, a wise perspective. Because we often talk about pastoral retirement, how to do that, but we often forget about the other side. So today, Sue Goodwill and Gretchen, so glad to have y'all with us. Sue, why don't you introduce yourself with a brief background? Sue's husband, Scott, serves as one of our interim pastors. So Sue and Scott and I have done a lot of ministry together. And so that's one reason I wanted her to be able to address the ladies on this. So Sue, introduce yourself to our podcast world.
Well, I've been a pastor's wife for 35 years, following my husband to three different churches, one in rural Minnesota, our first church where most of our children were born and raised. We were there for 16 and a half years and left to go to a church in central Wisconsin there for 6.5 years, which tells a story on its own, a little more challenges, a church split. So we stayed there. The church today is stable. We're very thankful. And then his last ministry was in Indiana, where we were there for 13 and a half years. And that is the church he retired from.
Yeah, that's where we got to know you. So again, thanks for your ministry there. So, and then now you've come with, how long have y'all been, and we're recording this in August of 25. So how long have y'all been with GFA under the interim ministry? I've forgotten.
We had our first interview with you in January of 2021.
Wow. So several years now.
Yeah. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. All right. So my wife, Gretchen, you want to give a little background for those that don't know you?
Yes. We were in, actually, my husband was in the business world until age 35. The Lord called him to preach. He went to school. And then at about age 40 or so, we replanted a church in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and we were there for 21 years. Then we transitioned from that ministry to Gospel Fellowship Association, moved to Easley, and worked with GFA for 6 years. And then we went back to our church, so now we're back in Rock Hill. So that's the
extent. And still with GFA.
And still with GFA. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
All right, so thanks for that introduction. All right, so now what do we talk about? The topic is retirement, okay? And you know, and I know, of course, I know Scott and Sue, and I know our lives, and most pastors and wives are teams. But so often I think we men do the planning of retirement, and we often forget to include how it's going to affect our wives. So, Sue, let me ask you this question, and then Gretchen, I ask you to follow. So before retirement became a reality, how did you picture it with you and your husband? And then did you relocate from, you last pastored in Indiana, did you relocate? And briefly, again, because of time, briefly describe what you do now, Sue, you and Scott.
Well, I asked Scott this question. Did you ever think about post, you know, ministry and retirement? He said, no. And I didn't either. It's not that I thought we would, you know, expire in the ministry there in Indiana, but mostly it was just taking care of what was happening at the time in the church. But as Scott began to think about it, I mostly prayed, and I had opinions, but I knew he had to come to this conclusion himself. So he did, and we did. Let's see, he retired on a Sunday. We packed up the house on a Monday and drove to Greenville on Tuesday. So it was a very fast relocation. one of our children provided a beautiful apartment for us to live in. And we thought we would be here temporarily until we saw, you know, found out what the Lord wanted us to do now that we were retired. But then GFA showed up and was a great answer to prayer and a perfect ministry for us. We have been to four churches helping them for different amounts of time, anywhere from 5 months to a year.
Yeah.
And some got pastors, some didn't, but all are in good hands now.
And when you're not traveling, you're active in at your local church in Greenville. I do know that. Yeah.
We are. That was key for us. Yeah. We needed to attach ourselves to a church.
All right. So, Gretchen, retirement became a reality. When did that hit?
I think we knew. I knew 5 years before we left. I said, we have to go. And it wasn't because I didn't love it. I absolutely loved our ministry, still love our ministry. But I could see that we actually replanted that. We started with, I think it got down to 12 people, and seven of them were us. So you start out, you know, cleaning bathrooms and things like that. We were doing too much, and I knew it. And I thought there are many, many gifted people in this congregation that could be doing more and doing the work of the ministry. They will not until we leave, and we have to leave. And that was my thinking on that. So I knew, and actually it became a reality 2 years before we retired, or I say transitioned, although that's not a very that is a popular word these days. I don't know if that's the best word, but we did transition from that ministry, and it was 2 years. So that's when it became a reality, and it was a long, long 2 years.
So in your opinion, this is kind of going into our next set of questions. So in your opinion, that 2 years, was it too long in your opinion?
It was like a slow death. It was like, it was not good. But it was not good in one sense, but then in the other sense, it helped everyone to settle down. And by the time we left, I think everyone was settled, and we didn't have a lot of people leaving and things like that. But I would like to add on to what Sue said. I was so happy that you said that you didn't plan for retirement, because I told my husband when he said, "Oh, we're going to talk about planning for retirement," and I said, "I didn't plan." I thought, well, maybe Sue did, and she'll have something good to tell.
Well, I think we planned financially, right, to get there.
Yes, Scott is. He's been planning this since, you know, our first church. So,
but the ministry side of things, I think, is what we're talking about, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I did not even think about. I just thought things would go on as they were. I mean, I knew we wouldn't have that position, but that didn't. I just never really thought about it. So I think that's why I think this is valuable, this podcast. Yeah. So we need to think about it.
When you say slow death, I think because we all love the people we're with.
Exactly.
And the idea of leaving them and coming week after week and you're still there. So for us, it's 24 months of trying to think in our minds, okay, we love these people. We want to stay here forever. At the same time, we know we need to leave.
Yeah.
So Sue, I know because Scott reached out to me when y'all were at this point. So how long a transition was it for you and Scott there in Indiana?
For us, it was in the end, 6 months.
Okay.
Scott told the deacons at the end of 2019.
Right.
And of course, the next year was the famous 2020. And that changed our church a lot. So his retirement actually kept moving. You know, first it was a year, then 9 months. But as you did, we became convinced we just have to leave.
Yeah.
Let the church go on. So then it ended up being 6 months.
All right. So, of course, 2020 was in there. So it may have affected that. But did you think that 6 months was too long? Or about right, or what would you suggest there?
For us, it was just right. The issue for me personally was that we didn't come to that conclusion right away. So we didn't start out saying, Scott will retire, it'll be 6 months. We started out saying, Scott will retire, it'll be a year.
Okay.
Which I thought was too long. And so I watched, you know, God move us back into 6 months, and then it seemed just right.
All right, so because that year, So would you just comment on that? So, because that, I think that's a key element. So as you announced a year, you realized, and then you adjusted on as you went down the road. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. Due to the response of the leadership in the church.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily understand the concept of preparation for leaving.
Okay. Right. Okay.
They wanted to do things on their own right away.
So. Yeah. Okay. And I think that's why Scott realized that. You realized that. Mm-hmm. And so you, okay. And I think it's important for others to hear that. So Gretchen, let me go back to you. So what were, and I think you've got a story that goes with this. So what was some practical changes that you noticed right away after we left the pastorate?
Right after we left, the first aha moment or whatever that I had was I realized, and this happened actually almost really before we left, I realized that we were not operating as a team anymore. Mm-hmm. This was very, very difficult for me. Now, Sue, I don't think it would have affected you like that because you all were still doing ministry together, but we moved like on a Friday and a Saturday, and then he went to GFA on Monday, and I was like, whoa, what am I? I had plenty to do. I've never been, you know, I've never not had stuff to do, but I was by myself, and it was just a very eye-opening kind of, I don't know what I expected because I knew that was coming, but it was just, you don't know how it's going to affect you until it happens. So that was difficult for me. And we also went back, we had the advantage that the original church that had supported us to do the church planning, we were able to go back to that church. And I had been involved in the international ministry. Is this, am I skipping too far?
No, go right ahead.
Talk about that. So I think I had the mistake think, it's the same thing when people would come to our church and they think that our church is going to be just like the one they came from. Well, in that way, I thought this church was going to be just the same it was when we left.
And not, 21 I didn't years
really,
ago.
21 years. I really didn't think that. Okay, yeah. I really didn't think that. But I did think, wow, I was involved in international ministry. I love international ministry, so I'll do that again. And I went, and I said, okay, this is what we need to do. And they didn't need me, which was fine. I wasn't really sad about that, as I was just thrilled with the how they'd come. But so that was, I just said, well, I just have to figure out, you know, what God does want. But when we were in that ministry, I did go to one event, and I just, the people from different countries were so, so interesting. And I was talking to these women, and they were saying, I was asking them, I said, well, what do you do? And then one of them say, in their broken English, they would say, I am professor of mathematics. I'm like, wow, that's great. What do you do? Oh, I am a visiting professor in bioengineering. And I'm like, oh, that is fascinating. And then I asked another woman, and she said something else. And then one of them looked at me and said, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm really not quite sure, and when that happened to me, I thought, I don't really know what I do. I mean, I know, and people say, oh, well, your identity, I know my identity is in Christ. I'm a wife, I'm a mother. A grandmother. I don't have any children at home, but I can keep the home. And I know that, but I think there's more to our identity. That is our primary identity. But I realize the past.
Previously.
No, I think the fact that my identity is in Christ is my primary identity. Thanks. But there are other things that define us as well. And I don't think that's a bad thing unless we cling to those things and we're unwilling.
But the point is, you didn't. You were no longer a pastor's wife.
I was no longer. I didn't know what I was.
Right.
I wasn't a homeschool mom. I wasn't a pastor's wife. I didn't. I other than I say, oh, and then the woman who he heads up the women in the international ministry said, "Oh, she's a wife and a grandmother." And I thought, "Oh, how quaint." Doesn't that sound, you know, I mean, and I should not, that I think whatever was in my heart was coming out, and it was kind of surprising me.
So, Sue, what about you? Life after pastor, after full-time pastorate, how did that, you know, you had this role shift, right? Shift in your roles.
Yes, it was shifting from one role to I don't know what.
Okay.
So when I listen to your story, Gretchen, the phrase hard stop comes into my mind. It's like 100 miles an hour and then, you know, you stop. Your life changes and you don't have a title anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right. Was this, because you're coming to that hard stop, was this a loss, a freedom of you know, okay, now I'm free from that, some of the pressures, mm-hmm. both, or what was that?
It was overwhelmingly a loss. You know, I guess those are rose-colored glasses. I know there were some difficult times in the ministry, but I loved being a pastor's wife from the start when I knew nothing. Probably made horrible mistakes and people were gracious. But I loved every facet of it. The people, the automatic relationships that you have because you're married to the pastor. If you go up to a visitor Sunday morning and say, "Hi, I'm Sue. I'm married to the pastor." It's like the doors open in a way they don't, you know, if I'm just Sue sitting in a pew. But
all right. So when you hit your hard stop, and I like that, and Gretchen, I'm going to ask you the same question. What did you learn about God? What was your spiritual growth at that point? How was His grace sufficient during this change of roles?
Well, His grace is always sufficient, so that's never the issue. But I wish that, looking back, somebody had said to me, "Be ready." Because you're going from full-time, what you love, you're moving, you're in a different place, you don't know where the grocery store is, you don't know which one you want to shop at, you're going to a new church where you walk in and you're just somebody in the pew, so many changes, and, you know, I think went la-di-da into retirement, so I struggled spiritually. I had my daily time with the Lord, but it was dry, and I would pray without heart, you know, because I knew I should do that, and I thought, is this what it's going to be?
I think everyone listening, you know, you may even want to pause this for a minute and just absorb what Sue said and where I'm going to go with Gretchen, because you're hearing two honest ladies who were in ministry full bore all the way ahead. The children already left the home, so they were already empty nesters, but ministry was what you did, and now this role changes. Okay, and you heard Sue's testimony, so you can get ready for such a change, and we'll get some advice in a few minutes. So, Gretchen, you want to add anything to what Sue said?
I really thought the things I was experiencing were kind of just me. And as I'm listening to Sue, I'm thinking, that's exactly how I felt. And it's not that we're, and a couple of things I want to clarify. It's not that we think the regular Sue sitting in the pew is any less than Sue the pastor's wife. It has nothing to do with your value or anything like that. It just has to do with an identity that you take on as someone who, and I really hadn't, you say, how did you grow? I don't remember growing at all, you know, during that time. Now, but it's interesting, as I thought through this topic, I thought, you know, what was I feeling there? Where, and it's almost like I've lost all significance. I've lost all, I think influence or, that I had, and which is not really something I'd like to brag about. You know, we're not supposed to be looking, we should never, and I think that the danger would be, here it comes to the spiritual side, as I was meditating on this, I thought the danger would be that you start to look for things to make you feel important, to make you stand out, or something like that, which is the last thing that you want to do, because I learned that, you know, just praying, telling the Lord about it and saying, look, this wanting to be, have some kind of recognition or whatever it was, or influence or significance or whatever, has really nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God at all. It has to do with me and other people. And so we have to be careful not to really seek that. I don't think, I mean, isn't that what Eve was looking for when she, when God said, oh, you eat this, you know, and you'll be as God, knowing you'll be, you know, so wise. And I think she was looking to be kind of important, you know. And I didn't think of it that way, really, at the time. But as I look back, I said, I really think it's something like that. That we have to be really careful, because if we do our own thing, then God is going to bring opportunities, and we're going to miss them because we're busy doing our own thing. And so I really just tried to reach out. I did have the advantage of still being able to reach out to some of the people back at our home church and we made sure that was,
and you kept that your was legitimate.
I kept my counseling ministry. Yeah. That's okay. What I mean. We had still had a counseling ministry with older people like us.
What? With that,
I mean,
Sue, you want to add anything to what Gretchen said before we?
I love what you said, Gretchen. That is exactly where I was as I was thinking back. What kind of a person was I?
Mm-hmm.
That this was such a loss, and why did I think that ministry couldn't be as vital and wonderful, you know, as it is, even though I'm not the pastor's wife? But thankfully the Lord dealt with me quickly. Mm-hmm. And I realized I was being selfish, self-centered, and not pleasing him.
All right, so now just briefly describe your new role. So you and Scott are part of the GFA interim ministry.
Yes.
So while Scott is an interim pastor, you're the interim pastor's wife again, right?
Yes.
And so describe that and how that has changed and what you've learned from that.
Mm-hmm. You know, the lessons remain the same. To me, you love the brethren no matter what church you're in. So my primary role in this interim ministry is to get to know the people, to show them love and support. Some churches will accept that. Some really don't want anything to do with that, just depending on the character of the church. So while Scott is working with the technical issues and preaching and counseling the leadership, I'm kind of a roaming something, you know, just trying to get to know, you know, make
Roman encourager, a Roman encourager.
Hopefully, right.
That sounds better than roaming something. I'm a roaming something. I'm a roaming. I don't know what. Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. So how long, and then Gretchen, I'll let you answer this as well. How long did it set you to reset a rhythm for life? Okay. Cause I know that after the hard stop, and you're starting to adjust. And even now when because you've been in and out of four churches as interim pastor,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you got this new rhythm. But if you were advising a lady whose husband's about to retire from the ministry or they're thinking about it, this new set, this reset, emotionally, spiritually, how long did it take for this reset to take place?
For me, as you know, I'm looking back 4 years ago, but I know by the time we were interviewing at GFA, which was 3 or 4 months after we retired, I was ready.
Okay.
And convinced that this is a good move. I would say to ladies, first of all, don't be afraid of this change, of this time. Mm-hmm. In the Lord, let him do the work. Don't rush past it is what I'm saying. Oh, don't okay. say, oh, this is going to be a hard time. Okay, so it won't be. And I'll just skip it. No, yeah, I think you have to go through it, but you can go through it with the Lord there, knowing in the end that he will put you, you know, in a high place. You'll be in his fortress as we always are, but you will know it again.
All right. So Gretchen, our new rhythms are a little bit different. Because we did an interim for 9 months at a church, and we had that role. But now we've kind of reset, And so how do you adjust, or is it because you still have a counseling ministry and we're actively involved in our church? But what? How have you reset spiritually?
That's a great question. I don't know that I've ever really reset, to tell you the truth. Because I am still doing my own ministry, and you are doing your own ministry. But when we do things together, that's the best, right? You know. I think if we were doing interims, I think I'd be totally reset. Okay, so you see what I'm saying? If we were going from one interim to another, doing it as a team, I would be fine. I don't have to be at any specific church. And it's been different for me. It's different for everyone. It depends on, I think, if you can retire to something like an interim ministry or some kind of ministry together, I think you would have less, to me, it would be less jarring, you know, to, right now we are back at our home church and it's wonderful. But again, our son, he was on staff with us, our oldest son, they hired as the next pastor. So I still am not used to it. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I have a friend there who had some guests with her, and she said, "Oh, Gretchen, come here. I want you to meet my friends." And she said, "This is Gretchen, my pastor's." And I was getting ready to hear my pastor's wife. She says, "This is Gretchen, my pastor's mother." And I was like, and it was like, it just jarred me. And I thought, I am. Oh, my. I am the pastor's mother. And I know I am, obviously. But it's just little things like that that make me realize you still don't, Gretchen, you still don't even have a realistic view of who you are or what you should be doing. So I can't say, oh, I've reset, I'm great, you know, but I have come to the conclusion that I probably should not, as I mentioned before, be going out, and I have really have to weigh my motives. I probably shouldn't be going out and trying to find ways to feel like I'm, you know, I feel better or whatever, because mm-hmm. God is bringing opportunities mm-hmm. and I don't want to miss those. And yeah. I'm just going to trust him that I'll be doing what he wants me to do. So,
yeah. All right. So, two questions, Sue. All right. First would be this: the church that has a pastor retiring, is there anything you could recommend them to do for the pastor's wife?
Oh.
Now, you weren't prepared for that question. I mean,
well, I centered on what the church could do for the pastor. This is probably the same thing because I have strong feelings about Scott's retirement. I would like retirement for me as well not to be boiled down to a Sunday morning after the morning service.
Yeah.
You know, the tack on, and maybe this just how it happened in our church, tack on, you know, 15 minutes. I think be better to have it be retirement 2 weeks, a retirement month where there are opportunities, you know, that are set up for people to talk with him and for
That's
him to
point.
Express yeah. things to people. I think if you give a gift to the pastor and his wife, you should tell the church that's what you're doing. The leadership mm-hmm. should not have the church be surprised that that gift was given. Maybe these are too practical, but this is what I noted. And then if it is, and this is extremely practical, but if it is a monetary gift, ask the pastor how he would like to receive that. Not Good. Put directly into an account or make, you know, I don't know. These are just things that come out of our experience. Good. With Scott's retirement, there was a point where, and it's because of the feelings in the church at that time are running pretty high in a negative way. And I stepped in, not taking over anybody's authority, But I thought, you know, I need to make this retirement good for Scott.
Yeah.
So all the children came, all five of them, and that protected him, I think. This sounds very negative. Our children did special music for that Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing to him, and no one would have thought of that. So I did step in and try to make it a softer leaving.
Sure. Sure, that was good.
Yeah.
All right. So last question would be this, Gretchen, I'll start with you. So you have a pastor's wife in front of you. You're taking her to lunch or having coffee, and they're 3, 4, or 5 months from retirement. What are you going to tell her?
How's the packing going? what am I going to tell her?
What's your advice? For this chapter, for this season, and what she's coming up on, what is your advice to her as you're talking or having coffee with her?
Well, if she's relocating, or even if she's not, I would ask her for what her plans are for her first week.
Okay.
Probably, because I think, and then talk about, I would give a testimony because, you know, I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation or no trial taken you, but such as is common to man. And I think there is something to be said for experiencing something and saying, you know, this is common. This is normal. And I think I would probably do some warning. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Sue?
Yes, along the same line, I would suggest that she have a solid scripture reading plan or a book she's currently reading that can, you know, bridge so you have somewhere to head every day so you don't feel like, here's this Bible, what should I read? I would, and also in a protected way, let yourself go through the sorrow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, dive into the church you join. That is key.
All right. So I think both of you, there is an emotional sorrow that comes. I mean, Gretchen called it a slow death because it was my planning of 24 months that contributed to that slow death. All right. But I think what I hear both of you saying that I think our listeners, especially the pastor's wives, need to hear, there is an emotional side of this that you must get ready for, but you won't really, you can prepare all you want to, but until that hard stop, I love the way Sue put that hard stop hits, you don't know. But I think also Gretchen and Sue and other pastors' wives have been through this, and with our interims, I know we interview interims, we try to say this at the end, guys, okay, your wife, you've got to prepare. Ladies, how are you preparing? And I think, Sue, you and Gretchen both will be available if someone wants to call and talk, right? So you can contact. Email me at mfant@gfamissions.org and put you in touch with Sue or Gretchen or some of the other ladies as well. All right, so let me just say this. So if Sue, I'll give you the last word in just a minute. So, Gretchen, if you were, just God's grace, how have you seen God's grace multiplied in your life through a lonely season? I say lonely, that's in quotes. But through this significant change. It is a significant change. I want to emphasize that. It's a significant change. And, of course, I took you through that when we left the business world, right? And you entered this world. And then
that was nothing. That was easy.
But this was a significant change.
Yes.
All right. So you got a last word on that?
Well, I've already mentioned it. I think God showed me what was in my heart that I never would have imagined. Mm. I would have counseled people against, you know, that seeing myself, the fact that it is me, I was thinking too much about me. Oh. So I've seen God's grace in revealing myself to me. Mm-hmm. And God's grace really in bringing ministry opportunities that I never would have even imagined. I never would have even known to go after if I could have. So I think, I've been studying Matthew chapter 11, and at the end, and Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that, as I was thinking of that, as Sue was saying, staying in the Word and knowing Christ and Him, opening your eyes to the Word. Those are all, that's all God's grace and blessing. So
I'm going to ask Sue, and I'm going to come back to you on this. So is there a book? I mean, because I like what Sue said. Okay, get in the scriptures, but also maybe go ahead and pick a book to get into reading. So is there a book you would recommend on God's grace or seasons of life? And Sue, I'll let you do what Gretchen said and what I ask her, and then I'll go back to the book. So you can recommend a book at the end as well.
Okay, well, I'll start at the beginning. I have no book to recommend. I'm sorry. Okay. I think it's a good idea, I don't have one.
All right, good.
Yes. So let's get that out of the way. Drawing near to God in this time, he has become, as he always was, my friend, my counselor. I love him more than I ever have. And some of that is directly from the change where I was driven to him. I had two choices, you know, go toward Jesus or away from him. So I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful we have two pastors' wives retired in our church, and they are amazing examples for me. So I was prodded on. And to be able to minister, I can do everything I did as a pastor's wife in my church.
Yes.
And that started by a friend, a new friend in my church, volunteering me to work in a program that goes into the public school and put the Good News Club.
Yeah, Good News Clubs, yeah.
She volunteered me, and that was God's grace. All this is God's grace, the people he put around me, the push that I was given, and then himself, so dear.
Because there could be a battle of bitterness.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to say that. It could be. So thanks for that, what you're doing now. Gretchen, any last words?
See, I had enough time to think about a book while you were talking. even though you... The only one that I could think of, and it's really Dark Clouds, Deep Mercies by Voskamp. Wait, I can't remember his last name.
Starts so with what's the name at the beginning?
Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy.
Okay.
Mercies. It's about the book talks about going to the Psalms, and in times of I know I don't want to make this too dramatic because we're talking about a change. We're not talking about but it does kind of feel like a little bit like a death, like a loss. That's a great loss. So going to and God does not even in Matthew chapter 11. At the beginning, John the Baptist gets confused, and he says, "Are you still the Christ?" I mean, we can get like that too, like you were talking about the dry times. So this book tells you how to go to the Psalms and to express yourself. It's okay. It's okay to say, "Hey, are you really God? are you really working in my life?" As long as you come back to the truth. Yeah. And God doesn't mind us asking, and that's part of what he talks about in this book. It's really very, very good. So it would be good in a lot of contexts. So that would be one possibly.
That's good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So as you can tell from the conversation day, this is a much-needed podcast. Mm-hmm. So Gretchen and Sue, thank you for being transparent through this, but it's also a heavy topic. You don't think this is, retirement, this is footloose, fancy free. We no longer have the pressures of ministry. And, I don't have the, all this going on, but there is a huge shift in life. But God's calling never changes. Mm-hmm. Okay, no. That's how I think we as pastors, right. We got to understand God's calling our life never changes. It's a privilege to know him and to be able to serve him in every season of life.
Right. Our calling doesn't get changed, but our position does.
Our position does. So, again, Sue, thank you.
Thanks
to you and Scott and Gretchen. Thank you for being, again, transparent here. And I'm sure with me, I've probably made life a little harder. than needed.
That's okay.
You know, with what we do, and but this is. But again, appreciate your transparency, both of you, and ladies, and pastors, and churches. I hope this will help you to know how to pray for your pastor's mm-hmm. wife, especially as this season of life approaches. So, Sue, thank you. Gretchen, thank you. Mm-hmm. And again, it's been GFA Podcast Rechurch. I want to thank all the GFA staff that puts this together and sponsors it. So, again, feel free to reach out to us. I can put you in touch with these ladies. Again, my email address is mfant@gfamissions.org. Okay, thanks, Sue. Thanks, Gretchen. Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You're listening to Rechurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.